Today on the Brian Lehrer Show, Senator Cory Booker, who had to reschedule from yesterday. As some of you know, he will talk about his bill with Republican Senator Rand Paul to make life easier for low-level nonviolent felons who have served their time. And what are these guys, Cory Booker and Rand Paul, doing working with each other anyway, we'll ask. Also today, Russell Simmons with his new effort to help stop the violence on our city streets. Tomorrow is the 100th anniversary of the start of World War I, and we will ask today if rationalism can ever defeat nationalism. Movie critic Ken Turan today with his top 54 of all time, and we'll ask you to nominate number 55. And we'll open the phones to ask, where is the weirdest place that anyone is listening from right now?
I'm being pulled over by the police.
Oh, no.
Alex is calling us from Buenos Aires. Right, Alex?
Yeah, it's me. Hi, Brad.
Yeah, because we're getting...
I'm in the tub. I can't get to the... Yeah, leave that off on me.
Not that there's anything inherently weird about Buenos Aires, but those were some of our past exotic call location winners. What about today? We'll take your calls later. But first, what time is it?
Here we go! Showtime, ladies and gentlemen. Showtime. What time is it?
Showtime.
Here we go.
Well, it's not showtime anymore. There's an NYPD crackdown on the dancers and acrobats who say that when they get onto the train and trade their talents for tips on the subway. As the Times reported this week, arrests of subway performers have more than quadrupled from the same time last year. It's no accident. This is part of Commissioner Bill Bratton's broken windows approach to policing, where the thinking is if you crack down on smaller crimes, you prevent more serious crimes as well. So joining us now are J. David Goodman, who covers the cop beat for the Times, and Matt Fliegenheimer, who covers transportation. Good match for this reporting at the intersection of transit and criminal justice. David and Matt, welcome to WNYC. Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
And we'll be joined in a few minutes, folks, by Raycon Perez, who dances with the group 2 Live. He'll be coming up. But, Matt, I mentioned that the arrest rate had quadrupled since last year, so that makes 203 by early July. Is the increase at the direction of Commissioner Bratton?
I think this is part of their broader focus on these sort of quality of life offenses. And the mayor has really been supportive of this as well. This goes back to the Giuliani era under Bratton as well. These are sort of seen as the squeegee men now of this new administration in a lot of ways.
And listeners, we can take your calls on this. What do you think about arresting subway acrobats? Are they the squeegee men of the 21st century? Do you tolerate them when you're in the same car, or applaud them, or give them money, or resent them, or fear them? Is this a quality of life issue, as the commissioner so often puts it? Is this broken windows, fear about broken bones? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. David, what are the subway performers charged with when they're arrested? You're under arrest for dancing in the subway. Is that on the books?
Right. That's not a local law yet, although I wonder if Commissioner Bratton might push for that. They're generally charged with reckless endangerment, which is a misdemeanor in the confines of a subway car. Occasionally they get charged with disorderly conduct if they're talking back to the police during the arrest. And there have been a couple times where the subway dancers have been resistant. You know, they're resentful of the police interfering with them. And in one case, a performer tried to bite an officer, and that performer was charged with assault.
Here's a clip of Commissioner Bratton in March talking about the crackdown on the subways.
But the issues of concern are those quality of life issues, the acrobats, the aggressive begging, the people manipulating the swipe pads and the turnstiles. We're going to be having significant focus on those issues, that you'll see more police and you'll see them more aggressively going after those so-called quality of life issues, which create fear, frustration, and sometimes anger.
And sometimes anger. So he talks about quality of life in the subways. But the thinking with the arrests for turnstile jumping back in the 90s was that it was also netting people who were perhaps on their way to more serious crime. Is that true of these subway acrobats?
Right.
It's not clear that that's true. And the police, as you said in the past, have sort of drawn a line between something like vandalism or turnstile jumping and sort of graduating to more serious offenses. In the case of dancing, that's not even an argument that they're really making. They think it's more about the sort of commuter experience, the city experience of having this sort of annoyance in their midst.
David, you were going
to say? Well, no, I was going to say more or less what Matt said. But one thing that Bratton has stressed with regard to this and some other things, including the untaxed cigarettes, which is at the sort of underlying cause for the Eric Garner arrest and eventual death, was complaints from sort of neighborhood or, you know, people in the community. And in this case, they were getting a lot of complaints to the MTA, and this started last year apparently in the summer when they sort of noticed an uptick. And starting in actually December of last year, the MTA started sort of shuttling over those complaints more quickly to the police department. And under Bratton, they got even more focused and said, well, tell us what time and what train line. Then they started putting plainclothes officers on those train lines. They start riding the J train from Manhattan to Brooklyn because they were getting a ton of complaints over there. And they're sort of laying in wait for these guys to come onto the train.
But if they're not considered risks of going on to more serious violent crimes, is this really broken windows policing under the, you know, what that theory is supposed to mean, or is it something else?
Right. Well, I do think there's a broken windows is a sort of a catch-all term that has you know, sort of changed over time, and you know, they one of the things that the head of transit Jim Fox told me is that he you know, that policing does evolve over time, and so, you know, broken windows back in the 90s had a particular meaning for the city, and now it's a lot more about order maintenance, the perception of safety. This is what I was told. You know, it's not just about, you know, being safe, but it's about feeling safe in your environment, and so they're sort of adapting it to a, they're trying to adapt it to a safer city, but it's all, occasionally an awkward fit.
Narda in Manhattan, you're on WNYC.
You know what?
We're going to listen
so
in on this conversation.
A valuable skill. Yeah. Good. I'm glad I decided to rotate this.
I think
guys.
In the interest of full disclosure, I should tell you you're on the radio. Narda, are you there?
Oh, hi, Brian. How are you?
Hi. I'm glad you're having fun at work or wherever you are today. And that the tasks get rotated among you.
Exactly. Well, I'm so happy that I haven't seen these Showtime dancers in a very long time because they are dangerous, and they make me feel very unsafe when they're flipping in the air and they're, you know, throwing young children. And, you know, I've witnessed, like, kids that look like they're 6 years old with these teens. So, you know, the teens collect the money. The young 5-year-old is going around collecting money, and the teens take it away from them. So I don't like the precedent that's being set. I think there's better activity they could get involved in. And
you don't know if they're ripping off the 5-year-old, do you?
Brian, come on.
Nobody, anybody who was ever a little sibling, I guess, will attest to that. Narda, thank you very much. Allison in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello.
How are you?
Okay. What do you think?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi.
So, Allison, what do you think about the subway dancers?
I think that, you know, sometimes they're cool and sometimes they do interesting things, but I'm just waiting for the day that I'm sitting there and they kick someone in the face. And I really appreciate the police department getting them off the subway system.
Allison, thank you. I think you're waiting for the day that you are Judy in Manhattan. Judy, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
This happened to you?
Yes, it did. I was fortunate not to be kicked in the face. I was kicked in the shin, actually.
Uh-huh.
And as a person who's in the performing arts myself, I completely agree with what Allison's been saying. It's cool. It's fun. We like it. But there needs to be some sort of, like, consideration for a crowded subway car and our fellow New Yorkers. And if the performers can't do that, then there needs to be some sort of control in place.
Judy, thank you very much. This is the preponderance of the calls we're getting, like 9 out of our 10 lines, which is still a very unscientific sample and survey, but that's who's rushing to the phones to call in. So there are people who are upset about this. But are people getting injured? Is there – I mean, she talked about getting kicked in the shin, so that happened. Is there a documented hazard of serious injury or just a theoretical
one? There's really not. Judy's case notwithstanding, the police department and the MTA have reported no serious injuries. I would think something like a kick in the shins might not get reported, so you would think that that does happen to some degree. It's more, as David said, the sort of perception that you're on the cusp of being kicked in the face.
Right. Right. No, exactly. I mean, it hasn't gotten to that level, but there's the fear that it will. And I think that's, you know, shared amongst a lot of riders. But, you know, just to the point that, you know, many people complain about it, but these guys are somehow making money enough to keep them coming back. So, you know, I wonder who is giving them money if all the callers are certainly not.
And the point that Narda raised is absolutely true. There's some very young kids in these groups, and they tend to actually generate much higher tips, and that's known sort of among the Showtime community.
Because they're small and cute, and they get a lot of
And they're very talented in a lot of cases.
And are they getting ripped off by their older brothers?
I can't say I've seen that, but knowing older brothers, it wouldn't shock me.
We need to get the family reporter on this with the criminal justice reporter and the transportation reporter. Jennifer in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with a more sympathetic take, right?
Definitely, of course. I used to be homeless myself, and I used to be a performer on the trains, and that's how I had to make my money in order to survive. It was my quality of life. It was the quality of life from a person that was having to sleep on the trains, having to sleep on the park benches. Fortunately, now I don't have to. I think that these dancers, well, I don't think. I know that these dancers, they're splitting, a lot of them are splitting the money 50-50 or amongst each other. These groups are going onto the trains in large groups. You may only see three or four of them in one cab, and the next cab at the same time, there's three or four of them, and they're protecting each other. I think they have a wonderful system that they have going on so that they're off the streets, at least for that time, and they're making some money in a positive way. And they're entertaining our tourists. Us as New Yorkers, we're probably not entertained by this anymore. Maybe the first time we saw it.
Couldn't they find a way to entertain the tourists and the residents with less of a radius of flying body parts?
As your guest had said, I haven't really heard of any people being severely injured, or I haven't seen anybody get injured. I've seen this plenty of times, and I've seen that the kids make it seem like they're about to kick somebody, but they seem to be very much in control of what they're doing.
Thank you very much. They're not cracking down, are they, on other kinds of subway performers? You know, the Mexican immigrant who comes in with the traditional hat and the guitar and sings the Mexican songs and whatever?
Well, we did ask about that, and they are, you know, looking at all forms of sort of performers as part of this. You know, panhandler and peddler arrests, the way the NYPD refers to them in a sort of archaic formulation, are up across the board under Commissioner Bratton. But the focus has been, at least in terms of the subway performers, on the acrobats. They get fewer complaints, they say, from, you know, about musicians, and we were given the complaints that have come into the MTA so far this year, and the musicians are sort of low on the list, and acrobats was sort of second to graffiti and to the homeless on the trains.
Now, Matt, CBS News reported back in May, I understand that the commissioner, Bratton, is in talks with the MTA to create legal spaces for these performances in particular in subway stations, but out of the moving cars, kind of like the Music Under New York program. Will it happen?
I've not heard that that's on the brink of happening. It's interesting. It's a point that a lot of the dancers brought up, the sort of MTA Arts for Transit projects that I think you're referring to, having a lot of musicians in the stations. They say that they'd very happily do something like that, and there's really not a space for them within that program or within any other program at the MTA to do this in a way that is in compliance with the city and with the MTA.
Mike in Jersey City, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hey, so I wanted to make a few points. And the first point was to reiterate the earlier caller's point about the relationship between what we know, the evidence that we have available to us, and making these sorts of arrests. I mean, it seems to me to be almost disturbing that we're making these sorts of arrests before we have the evidence available to us about whether, in fact, these sorts of performances are actually causing harm. I mean, it seems pretty clear to me that we ought to know what the evidence is about how dangerous this activity is before we start arresting and possibly incarcerating people. The other thing that I wanted to say is that I've done research. I'm a sociologist at John Jay, and I've done research here in Jersey City, in Journal Square, and if anybody's familiar with the space, you know, it has a lot going on that is very consistent with the concerns of broken windows proponents in terms of disorder. However, if you look at the crime statistics, if you spend any time in the space, it's clear that it's not a dangerous space. There have been almost no murders, no other kind of serious violent crime over the course of a very long time, despite the disorder in the space. So I think that the linkage between disorder and crime, and the way that at least in most recent articulations of broken windows theory talks about, just isn't there, or at least isn't necessarily there.
Mike, thank you very much. Matt, have you done the research as a criminal justice reporter for the New York Times? And Do you have reason to back up his contention, that the traditional link between small crimes of disorder and more serious crime may have once been true but isn't anymore?
I can't say that I have, although, again, even the police at this point are not really making a very strong connection or correlation between something like subway dancing and the more serious crimes that are sort of underpinning the classic broken windows theory.
Right. I would just add to that that they have said, the department said that, you know, about 20% of the subway dancers had open warrants on them, but they couldn't say whether those were for serious violations or for something like having, you know, being arrested for a little bit of pot, which is obviously a major issue in the city, or an open container. But they are not saying that there's any correlation between these guys going in and doing acrobatics, so to speak, and any other crimes in the subway. And that was sort of the underpinning of the original sort of idea of broken windows as applied in New York City, was you get the turnstile jumpers because they're the guys who are going into the subway to do the robberies. And these guys clearly are not going to the subway to do robberies. They're going in there to dance. And so already, you know, there's a disconnect there. And just one other thing, sorry, to add. This has been looked at by sort of researchers over the years. And one of the things that they have looked at is the different kinds of disorder crimes and their correlation to other crimes. And one of the things that the police tried to look at was prostitution. It's sort of a quintessential broken window. You know, you have women on the streets. It's very noticeable. But there's almost no correlation between arresting prostitutes and getting, at those higher-level felonies. And so they actually, you know, that kind of crackdown is not part of a broken window strategy.
And just let me get you guys' titles straight, because I misidentified Matt a minute ago. David was just talking. David Goodman covers the cop beat for the New York Times, and Matt Fliegenheimer, our other guest, covers transportation as we talk about the NYPD's crackdown on subway acrobats or dancers. And also joining us now is Raekwon Perez with the dance group 2 Live. Hey, Raekwon, welcome to WNYC.
Hey, hello.
Can you tell us about 2 Live for people who haven't seen it? What subway lines might our listeners have seen you on?
4 train, 2 train. A lot of people probably saw us.
How'd you get into this art?
How I get into dancing?
Uh-huh.
Well, my uncle, before we started dancing, they was dancing. Like, they one of the people who started dancing on the train. They was dancing with crazy legs and stuff. So then they told me what they know. And they wanted me to stay out of trouble and stuff. So instead of getting into trouble, I started dancing.
So this was seen as a way to stay out of trouble?
Yeah.
Now it seems like it's getting people into trouble.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I don't understand how can you get arrested for dancing. I never thought, like, dancing was a crime. So that's the way you express yourself.
Have you or anybody you know been arrested for dancing?
Yes. Like a couple of days ago, two of the Live members, they was arrested for dancing again. And then my uncle was arrested, and they kept him. Like, he's still in jail right now.
Why did they keep him? He had something else?
He had a warrant for domestic violence and
so he had outstanding warrants for other things, more serious things.
Yeah.
Those of you who were arrested just for dancing, what happens to you, Raekwon? What do they do?
They put us through the bookings. We got to go through the whole system. And what I heard is when they had got locked up, they gave them community service, but they said the next time it happens, they could do 30 days in jail, or they could give them a bail. Like, the bail, I heard the bail is $5,000. I'm like, how you get $5,000 bail for dancing?
Has this made 2 Live stop dancing on the trains?
Nah. We still dance. I'm about to go dancing today.
Really? Aren't you afraid of that $5,000 bail or something?
Nah. Not really. I don't know.
How much do you practice?
Practice almost every day. We Like, when, even when we dance, we practice. Like, we'll try a new train until we get it right. Even if we hurt ourselves, we'll just keep trying.
Did you ever hurt anybody else by accident, one of the riders?
Me, personally, not yet. I'm not going to say never, because, you know, some things happen sometimes. So. Nah, not yet, though.
But somebody else?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I had a team member, he was young. It was his first time, and he stepped on somebody's foot, but he said he apologized at the end of the show, and then the person, they laughed, whatever it is, like, thank you, and they still donated, though.
They got injured and donated.
Yeah.
Do you think that's the reason for the crackdown? Is there a way to do some kind of performance that doesn't risk flying into people?
Yeah, we can do platform shows, but like I said, like sometimes, like me personally, like most of us on the team, we know how to maneuver around people. Like, say we see somebody getting up, like they feel scared, and we see them getting up and moving, and we'll maneuver around them instead of hitting them.
But you know how the Fort train goes around that curve before it gets...
Yeah.
Never mind. Yeah,
seconds.
You do, don't you? Yeah, 40 seconds,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know. We know that scene. We know those by heart.
You do. You know when it's coming, yeah. And you adjust your moves.
Yeah.
Can you make more money on the platform or in the train?
In the train.
What's a good day for the group or for you?
What, money or like...
Yeah, money.
About $150 to $100.
For you personally?
Yeah.
Over how many hours of work?
Like 3 to 4.
Do you get burnt out after? Is that about the max you can do before you gotta give it up for the day, 3-4 hours?
No, not really. I could go all day.
You were going to answer what's a good day a different way. Yes. What did you think? What were you thinking about?
I don't know. Like, I think like Fridays is the best day, like weekdays and stuff.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would vote for Fridays among the weekdays.
Oh, I agree as well.
Yeah, that's where all the money comes out, because there's a lot of tourists and like games and stuff, like stuff happening, like at the Barclays Center at Yankee Stadium.
Well, Raekwon, good luck to you. Thanks a lot for giving us a few minutes.
All right, thank you.
Raekwon Perez with the dance group 2 Live, and we still have David Goodman and Matt Fliegenheimer from the New York Times. Well, he's still going.
He was great.
Yeah. No, it's really interesting to hear him talk about the process, and that he's not being dissuaded by the arrest, which I think is a little bit problematic for a strategy that is, you know, trying to use enforcement to get them to stop doing it. The two dancers that we profiled or talked about who were caught up in one of these plainclothes stings, Peppermint and Butterscotch, whose real names we were not able to get because when they went through the system, their case was sealed, which my guess is that they were too young to, you know, this was a first offense, and so they kind of were given a slap on the wrist and sent back out. And based on what your caller said, I think they're probably back in the subways dancing.
By the way, I should say that since I mentioned that 9 out of 10 callers on the board were against the dancers, then the lines got flooded with people who want to support the dancers.
Very contrarian city, isn't it?
Just to report the, you know, the human interaction with statistics on call-in shows. Kim Marie in Hell's Kitchen, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hey, Brian. How you doing?
Okay, thank you.
Good. Raekwon kind of touched on the idea of criminalizing dancing, but even in the bumper earlier this morning on WNYC, there was that idea of, like, does the punishment fit the crime?
Mm-hmm.
And I just want us to talk about this idea of criminalizing something that is really positive, especially in a city that doesn't necessarily offer a lot of opportunities to young men for jobs during the summer especially.
Yeah, and he talked about his elders getting him into dancing specifically as a way to help keep him out of trouble, David.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, what's interesting is he mentioned an uncle who was connected to Crazy Legs. And back in 2009, I profiled one of these groups who also had an uncle who was connected to Crazy Legs. And I didn't want to make an assumption, but I wonder if he was related to that group. They were all from the Bronx, and they all kind of went into the subway together. There was different, you know, there was a 19-year-old, a 12-year-old, and they all kind of taught each other. They practiced at 125th Street, and they got on the train. They sort of did their thing. Then they gathered up together, make sure everyone was there. You know, they seemed to be pooling the money, and they seemed to all know each other and support each other.
The next guest after you is going to be Senator Cory Booker, who's got a bill with Rand Paul to make it easier for people who've been convicted of small crimes to, for example, not have to check the box on job applications that asks, have you ever been convicted of a crime? And to Kim Marie, the caller's point, do they come out of this court experience that Raekwon was describing with an actual conviction on their record?
Well, I think it depends on the age. So as I was saying with peppermint and butterscotch, if they stay out of trouble for 6 months, I assume that you know, everything will be fine for them. They sort of were, you know, adjourned in contemplation of dismissals, sort of the legalese that they get.
Right.
So they wouldn't have any sort of stain on their record. But I imagine for the older ones, for the 18, 19-year-olds, and especially if they have anything else on their record, then yeah, that'll be on there.
Because Kimberly raises a great question about couldn't there be some way to keep them off the trains if it's really considered a hazard without turning it into a crime, because we think of crime as being different things than this. But I don't know that there's anything that there's a mechanism for that, but there should be.
Yeah, I mean, the mayor earlier this week, the mayor floated this and the police commissioner as well, that, you know, officers should have more discretion, and maybe they should shoo people away who are doing things that are sort of a nuisance but not you know, criminal in the way that we think of it. But I think that's hard to do, obviously.
Daniel in Fort Lee has an idea. Hi, Daniel. Daniel, you there?
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. You're way in the background. Can you pick up a handset or something?
Now you're
better. Hi.
How are you?
Okay.
I've been waiting actually for quite a long time, and I'm actually in favor of these dancers. I think that people who sit in city jobs, are getting paid, don't understand the difficulties of life of some of these individuals, and pushing them further and further and taking away something they're not, in my opinion, and many others, is an innocent thing, is definitely going to push them into crime rather than the other way around. And you heard from the caller how much they practice and so forth. I think the city can maybe find a way to regulate it without taking money from these poor individuals, but give them licenses and not allow them to jump off the stiles and endanger other people, but do allow them to do it. It does attract tourists. It is an innocent thing, and I think that it's very difficult to fight the city when they decide to make a decision. I think it's similar with, you know, punishing everybody not to drive 35 miles per hour, which is a very normal speed, just because a couple of people were reckless. Find the reckless people and punish them. Don't give capital punishment to the entire population and limit the driving speed to a city that's already congested and very difficult to move around in.
Now we're going to get into Vision Zero, are we?
Yeah. Glad I'm here.
Good thing the transportation reporter is here. Daniel, thank you very much. But the difference is, I think 35 miles an hour compared to the new speed limit of 30 is fairly well documented to be an actual risk of greater rates of death and injury. I want to come back to something that came up before from you guys, and the caller from the John Jay College of Criminal Justice reemphasized it, that do we even want a crackdown on something that's not an actual risk of serious injury, just a perception of risk of serious injury?
I think that's sort of the question that, you know, Commissioner Bratton and the mayor have to grapple with. It's an interesting thing that's happened in response to the story and to the crackdown broadly, is that I think there was a thought that there's sort of two camps on the subway dancers. You love them or you hate them. And a more common reaction that I've seen is sort of a third thing, which is they annoy the hell out of me, but I really don't want to see these kids arrested. That seems disproportionate to what's going on.
Accra in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hello, Accra.
Hello.
What do you want to say?
Oh, well, I was just I called initially because I was very disturbed by the way the children were being contextualized as acrobats when they're clearly performers and they're dancers. And I know that the New York Times article did that, but Police Chief Bratton calling them acrobats, they're not acrobats, they're dancers. And in New York, you know, this is a city that supposedly supports the arts. There have been a number of artists who've come out of the subways. Keith Haring, Jean-Michel Basquiat, graffiti artist. Graffiti was reviled, but is now shown in museums and galleries around the world. The musicians that you spoke of, they were so numerous, and some of them so good, they had to give them official spaces in the subway. I don't see this as being any different. And I was so thrilled to hear Ray Kwan say that, you know, the worst accident that happened was that someone's foot got stepped on. How many times has your foot been stepped on in the subway by someone who wasn't dancing?
Many more than by someone who was. Accra, thank you very much. How about that terminology, Matt, of acrobat versus dancer? Is acrobat actually a diss in this context?
It's hard to say. It's something that Commissioner Bratton started saying several months ago. He claims not to have coined it, and it sort of came out of, according to the police, the media coverage, I think, was the way that they framed it. And he's sort of taken it up. I wonder if it is sort of more pejorative than calling them a performer or a dancer.
It's still a skill to be an acrobat.
Right.
I guess it didn't strike me at first that that might be some kind of, you know, way to dismiss them or diminish them.
Well, it has a sort of odd resonance. I mean, it's very, you know, sort of you picture like a circus when you picture an acrobat and dancer is. I think actually that had went some way to giving this traction that he gave them a sort of a new. Title and people sort of latched onto that.
It sounds more disorderly, I think, than a performer.
So, is there some kind of response now to your article? And I think we've, you know, between your article and hopefully this conversation, we've sort of raised the level of the debate on this a little bit, and at least got the question of, even if they are causing fear that shouldn't be allowed to, you know, that people shouldn't have to be subject to in the subways, is there not something other than criminalizing this dancing? We've at least put that question on the table.
Right. I mean, I think it comes down to the kinds of fear that we tolerate in the city. I mean, a fear of being mugged or being, you know, robbed, that's one kind of fear. But the fear that someone might run into you, that you can move away from, you know, these are different kinds. This is a modern fear of New York City that we're sort of thankful to live in a city where that's the fear that we have in the subway and not of being robbed.
Keep the conversation going on our website, folks. David Goodman and Matt Fliegenheimer from the New York Times, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Senator Cory Booker next.